everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. So, William, how in the heck are you today?
Brian, I'm doing really well. You know, it's funny is I'm prepping and doing a lot of work for Louisiana SHRM, just trying to get my mind right, get back out on the trail. And I know Bob does a lot of presentations at SHRM conferences in particular, so he can kind of relate to, you know, the getting ready, kind of get your game face on. And, you know, we'll all be, thankfully, you and Nisha and I will all be over at Louisiana SHRM next week, but just kind of getting my mind right.
Well, that's, dude, I hear you. I am so excited. There's so many good people going to be down there in Baton Rouge and going to do our first 2013. We're doing our new session, HR Thinking Creatively. Kat and I are presenting that. So, one, that's the first time that we presented it together, so it'll be a lot of fun. And that crew down there, it's scenario-based, which I know you're a big fan of. You taught me well the fun that you can have with that. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, William, I need your help with something real quick.
All right, bring it.
In with Dr. Bob. So I've been listening to a lot of Ace Hood lately. And
yep.
I'm having trouble transitioning between that and some of the other music. This morning, accidentally, I went from some Ace Hood to some Jason Mraz, and my head almost exploded.
That's a reentry. Yeah, that's a reentry.
Yeah.
You needed some transition. You got to have a buffer in between those two poles. You can't just go from one to the other. It's like going from icy to hot. You got to have something in between those two. So I think if you're using Pandora, Spotify, or one of those things, you've just got to like the music really well so it really learns what you like so that you can create some buffers in between those two poles.
What's a good buffer in there? I mean, you're a music guy. I'm not. I'm still learning. So give me a buffer. Give me the
in between
my
man.
Poles.
In between these two, I'll tell you what. Why don't we get to Dr. Bob, and I will think about it, and I will have a solution by the end of the show.
That is what I'm saying. So, Dr. Bob Nelson, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you.
So,
glad to be with you.
Well, it is good. It's good to have you on. It is a just ridiculously wonderful Friday. It's been a heck of a week. It's going to be a great weekend. And let's kick it off. Have you introduced yourself to our millions of listeners, and then we'll roll into what's kind of top of mind for you.
Well, sure. I'm probably best known for a book called 1001 Ways to Reward Employees, which went into a new edition called 1501 Ways to Reward Employees. I guess I found some more ideas at work. The book has sold about 2 million copies. I spend most of my time working with organizations, especially SHRM. I just got back from the Baltimore Annual SHRM Conference. In the last 12 months, I've done about 75 SHRM events, state conferences, and whatnot. So I love it. Love helping people. All my concepts are research-based. They're positive and they're practical. So I've done a bunch of books. I did my doctorate with Peter Drucker, late great Peter Drucker, and about recognition and why. You know, we know it works. Overwhelming evidence that if you use recognition, you will have employees feel 6 times more valued than if you don't. In a culture where they don't do that, they'll be 7 times more likely to stay in the organization, and that's increasingly important as people plan to leave as the economy improves. They'll be 7 times more likely to recommend the organization as a place to work, a place that they want to stay, keep working, and they will be 11 times more likely to be committed to the mission and purpose of the organization, to want to do a good job and tap into their discretionary energy. So it's a powerful principle, almost a common sense one. You know, treat people right, thank them when they do a good job, but far from common practice in most organizations. That's where I spend most of my time. And my doctoral work was trying to answer the simple question, It is so simple. How come more people don't do it? And I spent 3 years answering that simple question and was pretty amazed by the what I found out, that the main reason that most managers don't use recognition is they don't really get it. They don't know how. They've got a blind spot. It wasn't part of their upbringing. They're not getting it now. And you dig a little bit deeper, and they say, I'm not going to coddle these kids. You know, I paid my dues. They could pay theirs. And off we go with a firm desire not to do this stuff. Whereas managers that do use recognition, they've internalized the principles where it really feels part of who they are. And on a daily basis, they actively look for opportunities to recognize employees when they do a good job and then act on those opportunities. You can't just have a mental conversation and say, hey, Jerry did it again. You got to actually say something, do something, tap into behaviors that show that you appreciate what the person did. And they try to do that on a daily basis. And that's really where it's at. The more we can get managers in any organization to own this in their sphere of influence, and to act on a daily basis, you will in aggregate create a culture of recognition and have incredible results coming from it, including bottom line results.
Bob, what's the number one thing that keeps your clients up at night, you think?
Well, that's a big one. Depending on the type of client, especially the larger an organization or the older it is, certain types of industries, manufacturing and whatnot, it's harder to get them to see and understand and actually move on those concepts. If the organization is younger or high tech, if it's smaller, usually there's more going on and it's easier to build. I find that for most companies I work with, it's easier to take a good company to be great than it is to get someone that's not in the game at all to start doing it. And so I spend most of my time trying to herd people in that direction, start wherever they are and showing them how they can move the needle to look at a systems approach for making this part of what it means where they work. And then there's some organization types, some verticals that are in the middle there somewhere. Like you take hospitals, and I've worked with over 100 hospitals, and I work with a lot of pharmas. A typical hospital has very deep roots, you know, the nun stardom back at the turn of the century kind of thing. And so they've been doing the same thing for a long time in a lot of areas like employee motivation, and they're really out of sync with the times. So I've never met a person that stayed a day long in their job to get their 10-year pin, for example, or having, celebrating birthdays. A lot of people don't want to celebrate their birthdays. They're an employee of the month. There's a lot of employees that rather not get that. It's almost a stigma to not get that. And why would you want to put a quota on excellence anyway? So they're doing these old school things that aren't working, and they're wondering, how come my people aren't motivated? It's like, well, the things you're doing aren't even on the radar. So I try to get them to start with the people to see what it is that they want, and then start doing those things not just for showing up, because that will help you. That will lead to creating a culture of entitlement, but to give them those things in response to performance and desired behavior that they demonstrate on a systematic basis. Now you're in the game. You can drive the organization in any direction to be more profitable, more oriented towards performance, towards customer service, towards cost-saving ideas, you name it. There's not a behavior or result you can't get using these concepts.
Bob, what are some of the similarities, dissimilarities of recognition in children and what we should do as parents and what we should do with employees?
Well, there's a great similarity. I think the closest thing to managing is parenting, and I often will be sure to tap into that because I've learned, and I've worked with over 1,000 organizations, I learned in talking about these concepts. A lot of times people they don't understand, they don't quite get it, but the point that you take it to the home front, they go, oh, now I see what you're saying. You know, if you want your kids to pick up their room, for example, don't yell at them for not doing that. How's that working for you? You know, instead, you got to catch them right when they do. Well, and if they never do, what about that one time they carried up their folded laundry to their room? Did you say something? That's getting a foothold and praising progress towards an end goal. And that's where it starts. You find a place to grab hold, and you build from there, from the positive side of things. You can't force people to perform. You can't berate them to use discretionary energy. It doesn't work, and I don't think it ever worked. But today, the highest engagement factor for, according to Gallup, is of their Q12, is I'm allowed to use my skills on a daily basis. I'm allowed to bring what I have to offer alive where I work. And the closer we can be to that, and the closer we can acknowledge people when they're doing it, the stronger the relationship, the stronger the culture, the better the results.
Nice. I want to get your thoughts on the current state of recognition technologies.
Well, there's a lot of them, and it's I'm very optimistic about them because the more things that I'm glad people are focused on it, and the more things that we're doing, the more we're nudging people in that direction. I think it can be confusing to people because everyone's online. Everyone's online. Well, you've got to really know what you're looking for to be able to know the difference between someone that hired someone to throw up a website and someone that really has a vested interest in ongoing technology. It's someone that has a 30-person staff to innovate and take customer suggestions and integrate them into their online service and make those available to other clients at no additional cost. That's being in the game, not hiring out someone else to run your website just so you can say you're online. So I get embarrassed by the wide variance, and I think the topic gets a bad name because people try something and it doesn't work, and then as I find out, well, what did you do? I'll give you a real case story. I won't name the place, but I was at an organization and said, we worked with this incentive vendor. They're in the top five largest, and we 3-year contract. We had a point system. They said, we don't think anyone ever actually redeemed points for anything. The only online service they provide is once a month, managers got a notice as to number of points they had available, and they think about 60% of the managers didn't even get that notice because they were screened out by their firewall. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for the industry. I felt so bad for this client, and that doesn't help anyone when that type of things happens. And there's a lot of that out there. So when you work with someone, you've got to do some due diligence to say, you got to talk to some other clients that they have had a good experience, and you've got to realize that it's an ongoing journey. You can't just do one program and plop it on the organization, expect everyone to grab hold. And so where I come back into that again is that regardless, my doctoral work, I looked at 167 variables as to why managers used or did not use recognition. And interestingly enough, I think you'll find this fascinating. Interestingly enough, the formal programs, tools, or budget you had available was not a significant factor in doing or not doing the behavior. Isn't that amazing? We're talking about a $50 billion industry, the incentive industry, and having those available did not impact if the activity actually was done or not. It all wraps around the belief system and having the skills and having the accountability to use those skills. So it's a head, hands, and heart approach. You've got to actually shape and reframe the conceptual image of what managing means to your managers and show them how this topic is no longer an option. We're not talking about being nice to employees. We're talking about driving desired performance and behavior that's going to make us all more successful. And then once you make that case and you make it in spades, then you can have someone that's interested and willing to do it, but they still may have a blind spot for how to do it. So you got to tap into their hands, what it actually looks like. And that's, again, where I like to feel I'm the best at, because my books capture just thousands and thousands of actual real ideas that are in practice now. Here's what it looks like. And if you do that well and get them in the game, they will pick it up from there because they will see from their own eyes that this stuff really does work. And that's when you do that, you've captured their heart. And that's the journey that I'm consistently on with all organizations. And it's a fun and exciting one. And I love it when they tap into the power of it. And once they once they do, they can turn that focus on any type of challenge, problem, any type of performance, and get better at that. And that is gets me. That keeps me up at night because I'm excited of the power. I'm up at night worried about it. I'm saying this stuff is great. How can we get it to more people to tap into it? So if they've done a bunch of stuff in the past and it's not even relevant today, a lot of people are quick to dismiss this stuff and say, we tried that, it didn't work. It's like, what exactly did you try? Well, of course that didn't work. You know, it's sort of. Give you another example on that. This is a hospital in Missouri where, you know, I'm talking about what they're doing. Oh, we're all over recognition. Oh, really? Okay. Well, like what? Well, we just had a summer picnic. We do a great holiday party. We do, of course, the years of service, the employee of the month. And I said, gosh, you know, you guys are doing a lot. If we have raises, everyone gets roughly the same percent increase. Well, you're doing a lot, but I didn't hear recognition on that list. Recognition makes people feel special. And they go, we got a problem. We can't get people to come to our recognition meetings. That's how demotivated they are. It's easy to blame the employees. You know, I go, well, if you throw a party and no one comes, it's not much of a party. And you ask them a few more questions, you turn out that's on their own time after work. And aren't you guys short of nurses? You've got forced overtime. Yeah, we do, double shifts. Well, sometimes the best recognition you can give an employee is after they've worked 16 hours to let them go home and see their family, not to have them stay 40 minutes to be handed a piece of paper in front of their blurry-eyed peers. And
right.
I find there's a huge disconnect, bigger than there should be, on this topic out there. And that's what I strive to help close.
Well, Dr. Bob, this is Brian. We're going to do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, Brian, William, and Nisha on with Dr. Bob Nelson, talking a lot about recognition. So I've got a hiring question for you. So do you think recognition that game starts or the race starts during the hiring process?
Yes, especially once you have a culture. Once you've established it and gotten there, the way you perpetuate that is very important, how you hire. And my clients like Disney and Southwest Airlines and Zappos, they make a big deal on making sure that there's a good fit. And if they hire someone and if they miss, they put them back in training and they make it part of the accountability of how they evaluate them. But it's easier to hire for that than to get someone that's not, doesn't see it, doesn't believe it, isn't going to do it, and then try to change that person afterwards. Same thing is true with relationships. You know, you can't marry the deadbeat and you're going to turn them into, your hero. It works better to find the person that's already there. And so, like Disney, for example, and Southwest Airlines, they hire for attitude and train for skills. You can't, if you hire someone who has a service attitude, boy, that's half the battle right there. You can give them how we do things around here, but if they don't have that service attitude and they don't understand it, they don't get it, and then they don't feel they should do it, once you talk to them about it, that's going to be an uphill battle the whole way. And that, it's not just for that person, but it's going to ruin it for everyone else that they're managing or they're working with. That's going to be the bad apple in the whole box. So, yeah, hiring is critical. And let me go a step further on that. I mentioned Zappos. Once you have a culture that's like this, everybody protects it. Everybody. And that's cool. You know, at Zappos, when they interview people fly in. They're right near the airport in Las Vegas in Henderson. And they have the shuttle pick them up, and they interview that person. Part of their hiring process, no matter who the person is, no matter what level, what function, is they always check back with the shuttle driver. What'd you think? Not that guy. He was a jerk. And he's off the list. He's off the list. Doesn't matter where he went to school. Doesn't matter what experience he has. If he's not going to fit in here, and anyone could tell that, he's not going to be part of us. Or at Facebook, for example, very, very similar. They have people are interviewed by 10 people, kind of team-based interviewing. They collect anonymous feedback. Any of those 10 people can say, no, doesn't fit our culture. And that's it. There's no questions asked. That's it for that candidate. That helps sustain and create a stronger culture.
Yeah, it's extremely effective when it's A players doing it of other people. That can be detrimental. I think we both know that when C players are in control of a process like that, then sometimes they don't want A players to be around them. But they can look bad. Right. I got two questions. One is around social recognition, i.e. things that are externally facing to a firm. What's your current thoughts on kind of the social recognition space?
Well, again, I think that's great. I think, you know, there's kind of lines between those different functions. I think Facebook is increasingly more of a personal thing. And I think people should think twice before they friend their boss on Facebook, because later they're going to forget they did that when they start job hunting, for example. and LinkedIn is more, for business. So I think it's good to use that, especially younger generation are tied into that. Some of the recognition technologies make an active use of it, which I think is great. There's like a streaming process where a peer-to-peer recognition is broadcast publicly on. I think that's incredible. That's wonderful. So I'm all about getting traction, getting in the game, doing things, but then getting leverage, having broader context. And so when you recognize somebody, that will have an impact on the relationship and the performance between those two. But as other people know about it, through a means like that, or because you did it in public, or because you put it in the newsletter or in the community paper, that has a greater impact on, that speaks to other people in the organization or people that aren't in the organization. What a great place to work. I got to take a look at them. And so recognition isn't just for the one person. It's for everyone that sees it. That's what gets noticed around here, and it makes it easier for them to do those type of things, those type of behaviors, that type of performance, those type of core values. And so if you, again, this very simple concept, thanking people when they do a good job has a richness to it. It's like still water. It runs very deep as you start to play with it. It has a real power that you can master as you get better at it, and as your other managers get better at it. And as you share what's working for each of you, you get kind of a best practices thing going on. I have some companies that when they get their managers together, they spend the first 15 minutes talking about who recognized someone on their staff since we last been together. What did they do? We want to hear about it. And they kind of start in a positive note and to learn from each other. That's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Or again, I mentioned Disney. I was working with ESPN, and the manager there said, Bob, every time we start a meeting in our staff, the first item on the agenda is listing five things that are going well. Five things. And sometimes that's we can do that very quickly. Sometimes we've got to work at it because they're not going that well. But we do not go to the second item on the agenda until we can name five things, because that's our home room. That's our launching pad for taking on the next challenge. We can do it. We look at what we've done. Look at what we're doing now. And that's a powerful place to start on a systematic basis.
In all your travels, Dr. Bob, values, beliefs, culture, tradition, what's the relationship between all of those things and recognition?
Well, different things pop to mind with each of those words. They all travel together. Some of them are more, to me, some of them are more significant. Of course, trust and respect tie in. Recognition is very simple. Recognition is, in fact, I sent you my book Ubuntu I did with Dr. Stephen Lundin of the Fish series. It's a South African principle of connectedness and unity. And at a very basic level, it's part of their culture that they greet each other by saying, I see you. Yes, I am here. it's a fundamental respect of I see you as a person, as an equal member of humanity. And that is hopefully where we all start. We spend so much time focused on how we're different from each other in America, and we got blue and red states, and my religion's right, yours is wrong. We spend so much time divisive that we overlook the fact that 98% of the stuff that we're all doing is similar, that we have so much more in common. And if you start there in any work group or in any relationship, you will faster get greater achievement. You will faster be able to move that if you start with what you have in common instead of what keeps you apart. So trust, respect are right up there, and those are fundamental to recognition. I think, you know, as you ask someone their opinion, that's showing treating them as a colleague, and that's a great motivator. Doesn't cost you a dime. As you include them in a decision, especially a decision that affects them, shows respect. So all these variables tie together in a very close pack. And ultimately, when you go to measure this, and you need to measure it or you can't manage it, I find a lot of companies will have one question on their employee survey, I'm valued for the job I do, or one of the Q12 of Gallup is, Q4 is I receive recognition. I've received recognition in the last 7 days from my manager, one of their core elements. That I've had a lot of places call me and say we score low on this variable, but we don't know how to change it. And I go, well, you got to start with saying it's not just one variable. It runs together with other things, with communication, with accessibility, with visibility. Intangible things. Maybe you got to make that one variable into an index where you can have a better sense of what it is you're trying to change here, because otherwise you can't change a culture based on one data point.
Dr. Bob, where is this is Brian, by the way. Where is a place, we got about 3 minutes left, that you are drawing inspiration from these days?
That's an interesting question. I get excited by, of course, new things that I think the whole gamification that's now rising in business, and how do we apply that? Well, that's just a different form of incentive. And how can we make gaming part of how we administer benefits and whatnot? I think that's kind of fun. It's kind of exciting. It's not necessarily new, but it's a new twist. And if it gets people in the game of thinking about reinforcement theory, I'm all over it. I love that. I love that, the more things change, the more they're the same, but still there's an excitement in having it be new. I just did a conference yesterday, for example. I do a lot of different topics, but one is on, they asked me to do is on motivating the millennials, which is a topic that Maury Safer interviewed me on 60 Minutes about. And I kind of end the session, I just try to show people where they're coming from and why they're so different from previous generations and how to meet them at their differences to get what you need from them. And everyone's got an opinion. It's a high salience topic and whatnot. But when it's all said and done, I think one of the last slides I show, I put up this quote that says, "Kids today are so selfish. They only think of themselves. They don't respect their elders. You know what passes as wisdom for them is foolishness for us." And on and on. And I said, "Who do you think said this? And when was it said? Was it? Did I see that last year from Bill Gates? Did I see?" And the quote was from 1274. So it's the more things change, the more they're the same, yet still different.
Oh, that is fantastic. So we've got about a minute left. Where can folks connect with you? Where can they get your book? Just let us know that, and then we're done for the week.
Sure. Well, I'd like to say at the local bookstore, but they probably don't have a local bookstore anymore. So. It's safe to say that I've got on my website, drbobnelson.com, drbobnelson.com, where I've got all my books and resources and topics I talk on. Also, Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, that type of thing. I mentioned just a couple. I actually have about 27 books. So there's a lot there. And then I also have a lot of free resources on my website. So you can get articles. I've done 800 articles on this related to the topics we've talked about. And a lot of those you can download for free in addition to other resources. Gentlemen, it's been a pure pleasure. And sure enough, like you said, it went by in a blink. I'd love to do it again anytime you're interested.
Thanks, Dr. Bo.
For sure. Well, folks, have an incredible weekend. Great rest of the day. We're going to be coming to you live from Baton Rouge, from Louisiana Sherm, and we are going to roll on out with a little bit of what's coming. Hold on, hold on. There we go.